Right, great. Thank you, Nat. Thanks, team. Great work this morning. Beautiful. Good morning. How's everyone? All right? It's good to be sharing this morning with you. We've had a few guests lately and some great messages. I've really enjoyed the preaching, enjoyed our services. So and welcome everyone this morning. A couple of things that I have the pleasure of doing this morning before we get to opening up the Word together. I just really welcome everyone who's with us, those who are visiting, those who are fairly new to us. We just really welcome you. It's probably appropriate to say a warm welcome, isn't it, for you? Because at least if you say it, it might sort of, the word warm's just got that sort of sound to it, hasn't it? We have got some blankets at the back there. It is a particularly cold day, isn't it, today? Got some blankets at the back if you would like one, just go and grab one. Also, sort of in the arc of the heaters is pretty good. If it's already taken, feel free to just jump up and stand under the heater, whatever you need to do, all right, to keep warm. If you're not too shy, you can stand beside that one, or is there one over there? Yeah, one over there. Just don't, you know, don't sort of distract everyone, but, you know, you can stand over there if you want. If you start singing or something, we might have to turn the heater off or whatever on you, but all righty. So anyway, welcome everyone. It's great to have you here. Mel mentioned to you already a little bit of Ash's journey over the last, since the 18th of May, when that barbecue was on at our place. It was a lovely time together, and then Ash, as Mel said, drove over to Griffith and then drove home, and then a few minutes later collapsed on the floor at home. So we're so grateful that he got home, you know, wasn't driving still, and that he got home. And I talked to him the next day in the afternoon. He's over in Wagga Hospital, and we had a good conversation. And I know it was very serious what happened. Mel had rung me between ringing the ambulance and the ambulance arriving, and we just prayed. Sam and I prayed together, and we knew from just Mel's call that it was something very serious, and that, you know, nobody really knew what was happening. And for quite a while, it was quite a serious concern. But the next afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, I spoke with him, and as they did test the next few days, they found nothing wrong with his heart, nothing wrong, you know, that might be a symptom of a stroke or something. And so what they've been able to conclude, mainly by elimination, I think, you can talk to Ash and get all the details later, but it's really like they haven't said this is what it is, but they've said we've tried everything based upon what we've seen. We can conclude, you know, the experts said, sat around and talked about it, said this is what we conclude, is that you may have had some kind of seizure, and therefore you can't drive your own car for, I think, about 6 months, and you can't certainly drive the school bus for 12 months. And I think we've mentioned on a few occasions, but Ash has been our school bus driver. For those who are visiting, the church owns a school bus run, which allows us to have access to the bus, you know, on the weekends and other times, but also gives us, as it's turned out, good connection with the rural community where we serve, etc. But Ash has faithfully done that for the last 10 years, driving in the morning and the afternoon, frees him up in the middle of the day for us to get some slave labour from him and run a few programs that we do in the church, and we've loved having him just part of our team and just serving here. He's done that for 10 years. Did I say that already? It's pretty amazing, isn't it, 10 years? So we just wanted to thank Ash. What we're really hoping and praying is that we've got a permanent driver, or a driver that we've appointed to it, a great guy who's done it for a couple of weeks now. I sort of fill in on a few days, but and I drove on Friday afternoon. The families are really appreciating him, saying, you know, they're loving having him as a driver. So they all love Ash. I took Ash one day, and some of the kids actually stayed on the run and did an extra circle just so they could be there and chat to Ash. So they all love Ash. It's been a great ministry as well as a service in that rural community over the last 10 years. But we have a good driver on who now will do a good job. He understands that it's for 12 months, and that at the end of it, we're really hoping that Ash will be able to get back on the bus. But there's no guarantee about that, but that's sort of our priority if that can happen. So, so anyway, Ash, if you'd like to just come up, mate, please, we'd like to just thank you for your 10 years of faithful service, and just to tell you how much we appreciate you and how glad we are that, well, things have turned out reasonably well in terms of your health, and, we're just looking forward to seeing, after you have a bit of a break or whatever, and whatever happens after that, it's just how things lead, you know, but we know you've got a place here and whatever. So, Dom, if you'd like to just present that, if we can just give a hand to Ash and... I I should have organized a photographer, but we might have to pose that again later so we can get a snap of that. But I know it seems a small thing, but Ash, we really do appreciate you and really appreciate your ministry, both our, you know, the ministry to the seniors, your preaching that you do regularly on a Sunday, and also the role that you've played with our bus. So we love you and appreciate you, and so glad that you're doing okay, and look forward to what God has for you in the future. Alrighty? Thanks, mate. So keep praying for Ash. Yeah. So keep praying and just believing that there'll be, you know, as we go through, there'll be a good rest, but a good outcome as well for Ash with that one. The other change that's happened in the last few weeks is Zach and Catherine have been leading our youth, and a few weeks back they had a chat with me and said that they've got some other things that they'd like to devote their time to. We've been discussing a little bit of that over a few months anyway. At one point they thought it might have been time to finish. The Lord sort of spoke to them and they felt to continue for a little bit longer. And so, you know, I just said to them, any time that you feel, you know, you need to change or you feel there's something else you need to do, then just feel free. Don't, you know, we'll work it out. God has a plan, and just let us know. So I just really want to, I was trying to think how many years. It's a bit hard to say because they've been like involved on team with youth, and then there was a period where they worked with me and I was leading, but they were doing all the work for a while. So then I thought, well, you know, they took the leadership when I took my year off there a year ago and was helping my dad on the farm, and so they did a great job and they've continued on, you know, over that period. And so it's been really many years, even though probably a couple of years as the key leaders, but I just really appreciate them. I did talk to them and said, you know, I wanted to share with you. I talked to them and said, hey, you know, you guys have got ministry. You guys have got, you know, God's got plans for you. You've got a call on your life. You know, you've got areas of gifting and, you know, your heart is to just serve the Lord. And so, you know, I released them on the basis. So this is where we've, as a family, got to keep them accountable. I released them from youth on the basis that they don't just get lazy and just, you know, have a too easy a time. You know, whatever. So I love it that they're not long married, and I love it that they can get some time together and have weekends, you know, and that sort of thing. That's all good. But I said, don't just drift away. Don't just drift along. I mean, not even drift away, but don't just drift along. You know, just be open to what God's got for you, and just, you know, there's many things that God, I know, has in his heart for you guys. Some of it I think you're already a bit aware of, and some of it, you know, will unfold as you just remain faithful in the things that God's given you to do. Catherine's not well today, so she's home, unfortunately. But Zach, if you'd come up, mate, we'd like to just give you something to say thank you for your service and your time. Really appreciate it, and, you know, really love you guys. You're a son of the house, aren't you? Grown up here, and so bless you, mate. Yeah. The secrets there, secrets. All right, and so. So just what's happening then with the youth is, over the last number of weeks, I've spoken with a few of the young guys that were on the team or that were expressing interest to be involved, and I just was so encouraged by the enthusiastic response. You know what happens, sort of, your life is going this way and then suddenly you commit to something new. It takes a little bit of adjustment because the calendar's already pretty full, you know, or whatever. But you know, I'm really excited that we've got a team together. I'm going to just lead that team for a short time. I'm going to spend some time and invest in the leaders and just support them. I'm hoping that they'll do the work and I can just get all the credit. That's the way I'm hoping it'll go. But I'm pretty sure it might not go exactly like that. But anyway, but that's what I'm thinking. So Lily and Jesse Tenhave, would you guys just come up? I haven't got a present for you yet because you haven't really, you know, done it for a long time yet. But just come up. Just want people to see you guys. And again, I just want to say I was just so encouraged. I sort of put the feeler out to them, and, you know, would you be interested in just maybe stepping up another level in the involvement with the youth? And I just got great encouraging response from them. And then Abby and Tom, if you guys would just come up as well. You know, I spoke with Abby, and then Abby said, "Look, Tom's fairly new in the faith, but he's really got a heart to work together and to be part of it." And so we said, that'll be great, let's do that journey together. And so I'm really excited about that. And the fifth person is Phoebe. Phoebe was going to come today, and she sent me a message either late last night or early this morning. I'm not sure which one, because it sort of blended together a bit, but And she just said, look, I was really keen to be there today. She's not feeling 100%, doesn't want to be contagious, and also got a bit of schoolwork happening and things like that because she's been crook for a couple of days. She's catching up on that. So she said, really sorry that she couldn't be here, but Phoebe Dean, I think most of you would know her, so she's going to be part of the team. Hey, that's a pretty good-looking team, don't you think? And they've already been involved. They've been working with Zach and Catherine. Zach and Catherine have been investing in them and encouraging them. And so, you know, it's basically just sort of taking another step into what God's calling them to with their youth. So can we just welcome them and thank them and whatever? All right. So we had the talk last week, you know, we got together for a little bit and we had the talk about, you know, sometimes with youth ministry, it's not always comfortable or convenient, you know, sometimes it's just you got to make sacrifices to be able to invest in, you know, a generation, etc. And that didn't deter them, it actually got them a bit more excited as I was watching around the table. So I think they're ready for, you know, just making a commitment, seeing what God has for them. And, you know, it's, all of these things are, I'll commit God willing, isn't it? You know, if God has other plans, well, along the way, they're going to be free and be released to do what God's got them to do. But for the moment, I'm really excited about having them as part of our team and being able to spend time with them, invest in them, and just see, you know, where that goes. Alrighty? So God bless you guys. Thanks very much. Thanks for letting me bring you up and embarrass you a little. And just one other thing, which I am looking forward to doing. It's a little bit different to what we just did then, but probably about 2 months ago, I slipped up and I missed, Gay Campbell had a birthday on the Sunday. And sometimes what we do is because we can't get everybody's birthday, when it's a Sunday, we like to, you know, just acknowledge the person's birthday. Now, what happens is she's forgiven me and we have this mutual arrangement where sometimes I have to forgive her and sometimes she has to forgive me, but we actually have a good relationship of forgiveness. So today we've got a cake afterwards that's been made, and so hopefully it'll go around, and we're just going to, like, give her as many hugs as you can. It's a cold day, so whatever, and just make out that just for a few hours it's her birthday today. Can you do that? So when we finish the service, we'll have a cake together and some morning tea together and just say happy birthday to her. Is that all right? Are you okay with that, Gay, if you have another birthday this year? You don't have to add another year to your age. You just got it. So thanks for forgiving me, and thanks for letting me. Sometimes when you're forgiven, you've got to make restitution, haven't you? You can't just say, oh, well, that's it. So anyway, so I was looking forward to today to be able to do that and hope that Gay didn't look back at me and saying, what are you doing? But I'm getting a smile, so I think I'm doing okay. Alrighty. So thank you for all that. It's all good stuff. Psalm 16, if we can just turn to Psalm 16. And I just want to share from this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm, spoken to me many times over the years. And I just felt this morning there's a certain focus that comes out of some of the key verses in this psalm, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. So Psalm 16, reading from the New Living Translation. I'm going to actually read from verse 5 through to verse 11, and then I'll come back and just draw a couple of bits out of it. And that'll hopefully be an inspiring message for us this morning. Alrighty. So actually, one other thing I was going to just mention this morning to you, and it's another exciting thing as well, is that this year is our 50th anniversary. We have announced it and mentioned it before, but this year is our 50th anniversary. So in 1969, the church here started in Narendra. And so if you do your sums, then it's 50 years. And so, we've mentioned it before, but on the weekend, I really want you to just take note of this date, on the weekend of Friday night the 13th, this is September this year, Friday night the 13th, Saturday the 14th, and Sunday the 15th, we're going to have a weekend of celebrations. I think most of this, or some of this, I've mentioned to you. Certainly I've mentioned the dates before, but if you could make a note of it, we'd just love you to be on board with this. Part of... I'll share more about it, but just want to give you this bit of an introduction, is that when we started thinking about it about 2 years ago, 18 months ago, we were just talking with our leaders when we met, and we brought it onto the agenda and just said one of the things that we feel is 10 years ago we celebrated the past and we honoured our previous pastors. You know, we've had a pretty steady history. You know, I'm the third pastor in 50 years, and I've been the pastor for 20 years, so it's been a fairly steady you know, leadership, not a, you know, constant change of leadership. We've had lots of good people on team, other pastors on team, etc. But we've basically had three senior pastors. So That's been good. And so last time, 10 years ago, we were able to honour the pastors and other leaders from the past. I know Mari, we gave her an incredible nightmare to chase up everyone who'd been connected with our past, try and find her their address and invite them to come along. And I think when she found out we weren't going to do that again, she was just totally relieved by that. So what we thought is, you know what we want to do? We want to celebrate our future. And so what we've done is it up there or not? Guys, did you get it, Jim, or...? This is just to show the theme that we wanted to have for the weekend that we've worked on is we want to honour the past but then celebrate the future. And so what that means for us is we wanted to invite, we said, who's part of our future? Well, it's certainly the church family here. And then we thought, you know, it's like our regional churches that we work closely with. And so we've invited them to come and just join in the weekend and be part of celebrating our future because they are part of our future. Do you know what I mean? Now, anyone from the past who hears about it, if you talk to someone and they know we're having an anniversary, they're most welcome. We'd love them to come. You know, we're not trying to close that door. But we're just saying, you know what, we've honoured the past. Now let's celebrate the future. So, when you say 50 years, you can't forget the past. So we've still put that in there. But we want to celebrate the future. The other people that are part of our future as Narendra CRC is our whole community here. And so, you know, we often say, don't we, that together with the wider church community, that means the other churches in town who we have good relationship with, together with them we pass the 5,000. Because we're not just trying to, you know, have our own little group, but we value our own family, we value those who are part of our church family, but, you know, our interest is our whole community and to love our community. Isn't that right? And so we say the whole community is part of our future. So what we've actually planned is on the Friday night we're going to have just a celebration service. We've got a guest speaker coming for the weekend, Dan Hagen. Some of you will know Dan. Dan and Ben Fitzgerald actually ran the large function down at the down in Melbourne for the Awakening Australia. And so Dan is someone that is doing a great work around the place. And I actually gave him a buzz and said, would he like to come and spend the weekend with us for our anniversary? This is some time back. He said when he got home, he'd look at his diary, and he got home, looked at his diary. He said he started to just pray about whether it should be something that he's involved in. He said he got this excitement in his spirit and just immediately within 24 hours replied and said, I'm coming. I know I need to be part of that weekend. So we've got Dan as a speaker for that weekend. And so then on the Saturday, from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we've kind of got positive indications, but we haven't got the official approval yet, but we want to close the street out the front, and we want to have some activities in the street, some singing from the foyer and other things, and just make a real celebration that we can invite the community to from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock on the Saturday, the 14th. So we'd love you to be part of that, and we'll be asking different people to play different parts in helping out with that. So we're really looking forward to that. And then on that Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, so Friday evening at 7, then the Saturday evening at 7, we're going to have another celebration, and we're hoping that, you know, the community will come. And wouldn't it be great to fill the whole place up? And got a few items and a few things that we'll do, and Dan will just speak, and it should be a really great night. And then on Sunday, it'll just be our normal service. Dan will stay for that, and anyone would be welcome to be part of that. So what date is that? Yeah, 13th, 14th, 15th of September. So please mark it in. We had given out the date before just so you could give it priority, but that'd be great if you could keep that as a special weekend and be part of that that weekend. We'd love that. Alrighty, thank you very much. So Psalm 16, verse 5 to 11. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard... Is that right? Yes, it is, sorry. I was going to start a bit later, and the verse 5 and 6 were too good, I just had to include them. But Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land, what a wonderful inheritance. And then it says, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Can you hear a bit of a theme coming through? No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One, speaking of Jesus, to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. He says a few different things, but a theme there, particularly from verse 8 to 11, is very much about how he'll be with us. Let me just read that little part again. He says, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I've got that highlighted in orange here because it's just such a beautiful thing. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. It's true, isn't it? Strength comes from knowing who is with you. Is that right? Strength comes from not being on your own, not being alone. There's a strength that comes. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You know, that seems a little bit sort of obscure, that a little bit out of context or out of place, those couple of verses there about the grave. But really what it's saying is that I know you'll be with me always, and even beyond this life, even into the grave, I know that you'll be with me, that you will actually not forget me or leave me there, but you will actually, you've got even my eternity, you've got it, you know, you've taken care of that. So basically it's settling that. You know, you are with me always, you're always right beside me, even in the grave you'll be with me. And then it actually says, your Holy One, which is saying that I know that even Jesus, you know, you will not forsake. Now, I just, when I read that, I thought, well, remember when Jesus was on the cross and he said to the Father, he said, why have you forsaken me? Because what happened was when he carried the contamination and the punishment, if you like, of our sin. So what he said is, I'm going to take your place. I don't have to die for myself. I don't have to die for my own sin, because this is what Jesus, you know, was really saying to us. Because he lived a sinless life and he didn't need to die for his own sin. So that made him eligible. That made him able to die for you and for me. He could say, well, I can take your sin, I can take your place, and I can die in your place. And so at that moment when he was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? What he did in that moment, or in that little period of time, he was carrying the burden, the contamination of our sin. And while he had spent all his life, all his existence, which is for eternity, he had had perfect relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And for this moment, he was separated because of our sin. And so, the psalmist is saying, he says, I know that you won't even leave your Son, your Holy One, in the grave. Because isn't that important? The resurrection is such an important part, isn't it, of that of the message of the cross. And so the psalmist, ahead of time, is really talking about, like in a subtle way there, but he's even saying, you won't forget me in the grave, and you won't leave even the Holy One, you won't leave him in the grave, because you're going to not forget him, but you're going to raise him up. And so on our behalf, he will come and bring new life to us. But you know, that's why that's in the middle. He's saying, you know, you won't forget me, you'll always be with me. But and even in the grave, even beyond this life, you will not forget me, and you will not forget, you know, your Holy One, Jesus. It's a very prophetic revelation of what would happen in the future. But let me just come back to the other verses that just simply talk about him being with us all the time. Hey, you know, this is a simple illustration, but it's one that came to mind a couple of times when I was thinking about sharing this message. And I don't want to embarrass Toby, although I do, but I don't. You know how you get like that? Like, you sort of want to embarrass him, but you don't want to embarrass him. Anyone know what I mean? Because I kind of do want to. Yes, I do love every minute of it. So Toby's a good mate. But I tell you, we had the barbecue that we spoke of down at our place on the 18th, and there's a lot of people coming, and you know what you do, you get everything ready, and then you got the Barbie going, and you're thinking, oh man, you know, people are going to be coming soon. I don't know if anyone else experiences that. My wife, she never seems to worry. She just cooks for however many, and she just seems relaxed. But I get a little bit panicky. I try to cover it up, but I get a little bit panicky. So I'm there, and people are coming, and I'm trying to time the barbecue and, you know, do everything. And what happens was, I still remember Toby and, isn't that terrible, and a couple of other guys, but I just remember Toby being there because he turned up again later, and that's why I remember Toby. But the guys turned up a bit early, and they said, what do you need us to do? Do you need some help? You know, can I lend you a hand? And it's like suddenly, like there's still the same amount of work to do. There's still the same amount of time left. You know what I mean? But suddenly I felt, oh, this will be all right. I kind of felt stronger. Do you get what I mean? I'm not exaggerating. Honestly, it's a little thing. And I know there are more important moments where I've been glad that someone has been with me, because a lot more has been at stake. Like, who cares if the sausages aren't ready till an hour after lunch? It doesn't really matter, does it? Okay, and that day we were actually cooking the spit, so that's probably why the pressure was on, you know, like, I don't want to burn it, but I want it to be ready, and so you got the spit cooking away, and then someone turns up, and it's like, you can't really change anything, but them standing next to you just makes you feel like you can share the blame. I don't know what it is. There's something about it that just gives you strength. I think some of you know what I'm talking about, because in little things or in big things, it's just good to know you're not alone. It's good to know that there's someone there with you, someone who might just know what to do, someone who might remind you of the thing that you've forgotten, someone who might just say, oh, actually, there's a couple more things, so we need a bit of a hand. Can you do that while I do this? Anyone know what that's about? Like, you do that while I do this. Ah, that's good. While I'm doing this, that's getting done. Hey, it's pretty simple, but it's really a life-changing kind of thing, isn't it? And so I remember that. And then last Saturday, we had the men's brunch. I'm glad we've shifted from men's breakfast to brunch. The last few we've had at 10 o'clock, and that's a reasonable hour on a Saturday morning, isn't it? Like, I think what everyone does is, from what I can gather, is everyone has their Cocoa Pops, has a cup of coffee, catches up with the family for a little while, you know, maybe, or whatever they want to do, and then they turn up at 10 o'clock really hungry for the bacon and the eggs and the tomatoes and whatever, because they've had their Cocoa Pops and now they're just thinking about the good stuff. But we had that last Saturday morning. And again, look, I'm not just wasting time telling the story. It really expresses what I'm trying to say, that when you know that God is with us always, and when He promises to be with us always, and you know what He can do, and you know that He's stronger than you, and you know that He knows more than you, and you know that He's just got a handle on things, and you know that He just emanates peace. He brings peace into your life and into your situation. That's the kind of companion that you need. And when He promises to be there with you all the time and to be right by your side, I tell you, it makes a difference to your life. It really does. And so last Saturday morning, like, I'm there. I thought I'd done pretty well. I kind of, because the other party wasn't too long ago, the place was still a bit tidy. Like, I just had to get some, the house is always tidy. This is the carport I'm talking about, right? So I got all the stuff out of the carport, and I, you know, got the blower, the new blower I got for my birthday, and I had fun doing that, or someone else did that, I forget. And then we got the fire going because it's going to be cold. And so it's all happening. But then what happens, Aaron turns up. And Aaron and Graham, and they say, you need a hand. I say, mate, your job is to keep that fire stoked. Get that fire going. Well, I tell you, if you need a fire stoked or you need someone to look after the fire, Aaron's your man, all right? Stand up, Aaron. He's the fire king. He's a pyromaniac, a man after my own heart. So he gets the fire going, and he's over there. He's just doing that. As people arrive, you know, him and Graham are there just welcoming people. Jeff, the guest speaker, I put him to work chopping some wood. He showed you the scar he had from that. He should learn to chop wood. But anyway, Aaron, can you teach him next time he's down how to chop wood? And then Toby turns up again. And honestly, I guess the reason I'm thinking of this analogy is because Toby walks up behind me. It's about this time he didn't come an hour early. I'm not sure why. He came about 20 minutes early. And he comes up and says, anything you need? And I said, mate, I'm right now. I said, when you arrive, everything's okay. That's what I said to him, didn't I? I say that to him. And he thought I'd been drinking or something. But I said, when you arrive, everything's all right, Tobe. And I meant it. Like, I was sort of half joking, but I really meant it. Because there's something about when people just arrive, when people are around you. There's a verse that I was going to end with. So if I read it now, we could probably finish, couldn't I? I was going to end with it, but it's totally out of order. But 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6, it says this. God, so 2 Corinthians 7, 6, I'll keep reading quickly, but if you want to make a note of that, 2 Corinthians 7, 6, you can have a look. God who encourages those who are discouraged, God who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. Now when you have a look at Titus, Titus was a guy who seemed to get sent everywhere, you know. His job was to turn up, just to turn up. And so when I read that some years back, I thought, you know what, there's just something encouraging about turning up. There's something encouraging about just being there for people. There's something encouraging about having people that are just there for you. Is that right? And so I guess I want to give a twofold application this morning. One is challenging us about how we can make a difference just by being there, by taking an interest, just by supporting, just by our presence. It's not even always about what you can do, although doing stuff is important too sometimes, but it's about just being there, just sometimes just being alongside somebody. Having people, inviting people to be alongside you at times is such a strengthening and such an amazing thing. And so but the other aspect, which is probably the main aspect today, although both are important, is that God just promises. He promises to be by our side. He promises to guide us. He promises to be with us. He promises to lead us. And he promises us to be actively involved in our life and journey every day. And so, thanks to Toby. Thanks to Aaron. Thanks to others who play that role so often in my life and in the life of people here in this church family. Titus was one of those guys who was just sent to be there. Philemon, I'll just quickly turn to it and then I'll come back to Psalm 16, but just the book of Philemon, it's just got one chapter, so it's at the end of that first chapter, verse 23, and it says, it's headed up, Paul's final greetings. And it says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You know, Paul so often, that's just one example, but Paul so often wrote and said, this person sends their greetings. I send my greetings. This person is thinking of you. I'm praying for you without ceasing. You know, and so there's that constant sense in Paul's letters. You read them with just that in mind, and you will see how clear it is, how much it comes through. You know, that Paul understood something of what it was to come to a place. He understood what it was to send somebody to a place. When he himself was in prison, you know, he'd write a letter, but then he'd send somebody. And so, the verse I read before, you know, God who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. We can play a part in being an encouragement. If we invite others into our world, they can be an encouragement and a strength for us. God himself, though, is an encouragement too. In the passage in Psalm 16, there were two verses that made reference to guiding or showing. Verse 7 said, I will bless the Lord who guides me. In verse 11, it said, you will show me the way of life. I have talked about this before, but I just want to quickly mention this again. What that word guide particularly means, and the word show later on means a similar thing. But you know, I guess I've used this illustration before and you might remember it, but let me remind you again. If you went to the tourist centre and you said, I want to go to Second Beach, or I want to go to the Koala Reserve, I want to go wherever. Someone, a friend of mine was in town and they wanted to go and see the big guitar. And it's a world second, is it the largest playable? Oh, because I said to him, I think it was the largest, but now it's the second largest playable guitar. I'm going to ring him up and tell him it's actually the world's largest. Is that right? Oh, I thought we'd been tipped at the post by somebody else, but it's the largest. So they went in, they actually played it, you know, and had a good time. And then they said, where is the fountain? There's a fountain that I want to look at. So they got directions to the fountain. But if I went to the tourist centre, I said, I want to go to Koala Reserve. Well, I guess they could do one of three things. This is what I would say, they could do one of three things. And I know that their instructions are probably just to do one of the first two, not the third one. So I'm not having a go at the tourist centre at all. But, you know, what they could do is they could say, well, look, here's a map. They slide a little map over on the counter, they get their highlighter, and they say, you're here, and if you drive down here and down here and down here, and that's where you'll find, you've got to walk over to there and you'll find the Koala Reserve. Right, there's your map, and off you go. And that's pretty helpful, isn't it? Like, you'd probably find your way out there, no problem. If you haven't had 3 inches of rain, you'd be fine. If you, but then what they could do is they could possibly come out of the tourist centre, they get the map and then they come out to you and they say, look now, see that map there? And they say, drive down there, and they could not just give you the map, but they could point it out for you. So that's the way you go. Well, that's pretty helpful too, isn't it? But what this word guide here means, where it says, he will guide you. Another beautiful psalm I love and often refer to is, it says God will guide you with his eye. You know, he'll guide you with his eye. But as the guide here in this one, it says, it actually means that what he will do is he will not only get the map and the highlighter, he will not only point the direction, but what he will do is he will actually accompany you. So in a way, his word is his map, isn't it? In a way, his word is his map. But what it says is he will guide you by going with you. Now again, the tourist centre people probably wouldn't be allowed to do this, but if they were to guide in the way that this happened, what they'd say to you is, right, here's the map, this is where we're heading, but I'm coming with you. So they go out and they'd hop in the car with you, put their seatbelt on, of course, and then as you go, they would go with you and show you where the koala reserve is. Do you see the difference? So when God says, I will guide you, he's not just saying, well, I'll give you my word and you can follow it. He's saying, what I will do is I will be with you and I will give you the clarity, give you instructions, and I'll give you clarity to your instructions. But then what I'll do is I will accompany you and be on that journey with you. And I don't know about you, but I find that wonderful to understand that aspect of that meaning. So he says, I will guide you. Sorry, the Lord. I will bless the Lord who guides me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. I'll just make quick reference to a couple of other verses that you can make note of and look at later if you want to. But Joshua chapter 1, if you read verses 1 to 9, but verse 5 is kind of the key verse in the middle of it. What you'll see is that Joshua now is taking over the leadership of the large group of God's people. And he's been trained, he's been equipped. Moses has invested in him and shown him. But he's now Moses has died and he's going to take over the people. And so he's there and he's being encouraged. And in the verses 1 to 9, he's encouraged to go and... To lead, and basically God says to him in that passage things like this, or the scripture says to him, or the word says to him, inspired by God, it's instruction to him from God, and it says to him, everywhere you go, I've been before you, and wherever your foot goes, I've given that to you. And then he says, I will be with you always. I'll just turn to it and read that little bit for you. So Joshua chapter 1 says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. And he explains from this place to that place to that place. No one will be able, verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Isn't that making it really clear, isn't it? No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you, I will not abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land. Be strong and courageous and be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you, etc. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How cool is that? And then Matthew 28, when the disciples met with Jesus before he ascended to the Father, he said, I give you this commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel, pray for the sick, help those who are oppressed by the devil, by the enemy. Baptize people. Share the gospel. So, you know, that's just my wording. But it's all the things that they were instructed to do. And at the end of it, he said, lo, I am with you always. In other words, go and do this, but you're not on your own. I will be with you in it. That passage in Psalm tells us that his presence gives us strength and endurance, gives us joy and gladness, gives us rest, gives us hope in the future, the things that we don't yet understand, and will give us guidance, not just by sending us, but by going with us. Let's just pray as we finish. Father, thank you for your incredible promise to be with us always. When we put that in the context of getting to know you, getting to know your heart, getting to know your plan, getting to know that you are trustworthy. If the musicians would come. Yeah, thanks, guys. Knowing that you are trustworthy, knowing your promises and taking a hold of them, knowing that you understand us and you would never want to put us in a place that would be contrary to your expression of love and your purpose for us. Lord, we just get strength from that. We get courage from that. Fear is dissolved by the knowledge of that truth, that you will be with us, that you will go with us, that you will not abandon us, that you will not fail us. So Lord, our hearts say yes to you. Our hearts surrender to your will and purpose, knowing that you're with us in whatever way you lead us. Just when I was earlier in the service, in the worship, and I've scribbled it on my hand, but that verse came to me that says, it says something like this. It says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know not." And what that last part, "which you know not," just means, even though you can't see the answer, even though you can't understand, even though you can't work it out, that's what it means. He says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that are even bigger than what you can work out or understand, or even if you can't see the way through, call unto me, and I'll show you, I'll help you, I'll meet you in that place." And I just felt to just finish my message with that challenge this morning, or that encouragement, a challenge and an encouragement. I kind of felt like just God wanted me to encourage you that way, because maybe there's some here and you've just kind of given up. There are some things that are too hard or just too difficult, or you can't see the way through, and I understand this fully, but you've kind of resolved, well, I can't see a way through, I can't see how it'll ever work out, so yeah, I'm just settled. This is something I've got to live with, or this is something that I've just got to face up to. It's never going to change. Well, some things take time, and that might be right, but I think God wants you this morning just to be encouraged afresh to call unto Him. Even though you can't see the way forward, even though it seems too big, even though it seems a bit irrational, even though it seems like you deserved it, that's another thing, isn't it? Sometimes you think, well, I deserve this. This has happened to me, and I deserve it. Well, some circumstances you can't change, but God can help you through them, and God can help to turn them around for good in your life. But I think He's really saying to some people today, I think He wants me to say to some people today, don't give up. If you've given up, then pick it up again. Just trust me again. Don't get too intense. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't try and find the right ritual to do, but just trust me. Just call unto me. Will you just call unto me? And He said, because I'm there, I can hear, but I'm waiting for you to call unto me. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. Give Him a chance. Give Him a chance to show you something great and mighty. Give Him a chance to show you how much He loves you. Give Him a chance to show you what He can do that you can't do. Is that all right? So call unto Him. So as we sing this final song, well, now's as good a time as any. Take a moment to call unto Him and tell Him. You can be really honest with Him. You can say, "I'm so frustrated with you," if you want to. But don't leave it in a distrusting place. So, "I'm so frustrated with you, but I know you can do it. I know you can get me through. I don't understand how." Be honest with Him, but be positive as well. And then let Him do what only He can do. Is that all right? So He can do it now. If you don't feel like doing it now, or you don't think of anything right now, but you get through the week and suddenly something happens where you think, yeah, hey, I think that word that Trevor said at the end of the meeting, I now get it. You know, I didn't sort of think of anything, but now I think that's for me. Well, wherever you are through the week, just do that. Call unto Him. And He will show you something. He will show you that He can do more than you can do. Is that all right? Father, thank you again for just this word. And thank you for being interested enough in us and knowing enough about us that you want to encourage us to call unto you. Our human mind gets a little bit like we don't deserve it. Our human mind gets a little bit like you might be too busy. Our mind gets to try and understand how you could even see us in the midst of everything that's going on. But Lord, we know you do. And so we call unto you, and thank you, Lord, that you're willing to do great and mighty things for us, even in our apparent smallness or even in our apparent undeservedness. Lord, you're interested in our life and journey, and you hear us when we call, and you hear us when we cry. So many examples of that in Scripture. So many examples of that in our own story, in our own history. So Lord, thank you for that.